Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Sitcoms coming up in this hour. Later on, from the comic strip to your theater of the mind, we hear Blondie on radio. But right now, it's Lum and Abner. Not so much a sitcom in their previous years, more of a comedy soap opera, as they first hit the airwaves in 1933, but in 1948 were given a chance on CBS to have a traditional sitcom format. They didn't hit too well with fans, and they went back to their quarter-hour broadcasts in 1953. This broadcast, known as The Advice Bureau, from November 14, 1948 on CBS, with Chester Locke and Norris Goff.
Grannies, Abner, I believe that's our ring.
Aw.
Bridget Air presents the new Lum and Abner Show. Tonight, Bridget Air, a division of General Motors, brings you a brand new kind of visit with those old characters down in Pine Ridge, featuring Clarence Hartzell as Ben Withers, the music of Felix Mills, and starring your old favorites, Lum and Abner. America's number one refrigerator is Frigidaire. As we look in on the little community of Pine Ridge, we find the old fellows in their jot-em-down store. Lum is seated at the checkerboard. Abner's talking on the telephone. Listen.
Prunes? Just a minute, Miss Barton. Hold a phone. Lum, have we got any prunes?
Prunes? Just a second here.
You can't move that man there. You're cheating.
I am not.
You're cheating?
I'm playing just like you do.
Oh, so you admit it, huh?
Right, I'll put the checker back if it'll make you happy. There.
Well, that's better. Let me see.
Wait a minute. It's still my turn. Get your lunch hooks off of them checkers.
Excuse me.
There. Now go ahead.
All right, sir. Let's see here.
Prunes, you say?
Yeah. Believe I'll just move that little... Oh, no.
You know, by rights, we oughtn't to be playing checkers during business hours, Abner.
No, we oughtn't. There. Sure move, Lum.
All right. Miss Pomeroy told Miss Blevins that we get so wrapped up in a game we even forget to answer the phone.
That's ridiculous. Hurry up and move.
Don't rush me.
Morning, Lum. Morning, Abner.
Hurry up, Mom.
My, ain't it a grand morning?
Let's see now.
I say, ain't it a grand morning?
There. Go ahead, Abner.
I want a bucket of lard and two cans of... Say, did you hear me? I want a bucket of lard.
Doggies, you've got me in a bad spot here, Lum.
Say, listen here, you lazy varmint. This is the last time I'm ever going to trade here. And I'll see to it that nobody else trades here, neither. We'll close this junk shop up so tight you couldn't open it up with a crowbar. What do you think of that, Abner Peabody?
Huh? Oh, well, morning, Miss Goshen. Nice to see you.
Abner, don't sit there gabbing all day. Move.
Well, I'm going to. There. How do you like that?
Dad, blame it. I was hoping you wouldn't see that.
What can we do for you today, Miss Goshen?
Yeah, I reckon I'll just have to do this.
Hey, wait a minute. You can't move, eh? You got to jump.
I do, huh?
Why, sure. Then I'll land in the king row and you'll have to crown me.
Be a pleasure.
Go ahead, Lum. Move.
Oh, gosh, fellas. Have I got trouble in the home. Trouble in the H-O-M home.
You gotta do it, Lum. There's nothing else you can do.
Oh, that there woman of mine is on the warpath again. She's had me in the doghouse along. I'm starting to chase alley cats. I don't know what to do.
Go ahead and move.
Oh, how can I do that? Just as quick as I get in the house, she locks me in the upstairs bedroom.
There's just one thing to do, jump.
From the upstairs window?
Granny Sandra, there must be some other way out.
No, there ain't, Lom.
No, sir. I believe it's worth a broken leg to get away from that there wildcat.
Well, all right. There.
Now watch me. Right into the king roll.
Yeah, but what if she catches me a-leaving?
Crown her, boy.
Crown her?
Yeah, that's the time.
Well, by Jiminy Abner, I'm going to take that there advice if it's the last thing I ever do. And it may be.
Did somebody just go out the door just now?
Yeah. Goodbye, Miss Goshen. I dog is it taking me a long time, but now I've got me a king.
Yeah. Now you know how Princess Elizabeth feels.
Hey, wait a minute, Lom. That dad blamed Miss Goshen must have left the telephone receiver off the hook.
Let's see here now.
Absent-minded old Betty. Hello. Is anybody still on here? Huh? Just a minute. Lom.
Yeah?
Have we got any prunes?
Oh, no, Abner. Don't get out that checkerboard today. We're giving that up for good. I just seen Ms. Goshen on my way to work this morning. She claimed she was in here yesterday, and we never even waited on her.
Oh, pretta pratta. She run out before we ever had a chance to.
Well, morning, Ezra.
Howdy, fellas. Howdy. Abner, old boy, let me shake your hand.
Yeah, sure. Howdy do. Proud to see you, Ezra. Ain't saw you around here for a month or so.
Month? Well, what about what happened here yesterday?
I'd love to hear about it. What was it?
Oh, don't judge me, Abner. I tell you, that there was the greatest one piece of advice I ever heard. I done just like you told me to do. I walked up to my woman and I says, Carrie, I am a-moving. So she locked me in the upstairs bedroom. So I packed my valise and jumped out in the window.
I told you to do that?
For pity's sakes, Admiral, what do you go around telling things like that for?
Well, Lom, I...
Granny, it's a wonder you wasn't killed, Ezra.
Was it? I was lucky. Carrie was down there waiting for me.
Well, what was so lucky about that?
She broke my fall.
Oh.
Well, when she come to, she says, where do you think you're a-going, Ezra Seastrunk? And right there's where I carried out the rest of your advice, Admiral. I crowned her. I said, whanged her on the noggin with my valise.
Oh, my goodness alive.
And then what happened, Ezra?
This I don't want to hear.
Carrie looked up at me and says, Ezra, I never knowed till now you love me.
Huh?
She called me her big, strong caveman. Then she picked me up and carried me back upstairs. Oh, I tell you, Abner, everything's all right. I'm a happy man again. You don't know what you've done for me.
Don't know. You don't even suspect.
You say I gave you this advice yesterday?
Yes, and since then I've told all my friends about you. They've all got troubles and want your advice.
Well, now, wait a minute now, Ezra.
The fact is there's a bunch of them waiting outside to see you now.
Huh?
Grannies, look at that. They're lined up outside the store there like Democrats outside the White House.
Abner, these here fellows all need your help. They're all on the verge of becoming mixed up and confused.
Well, they've sure come to the right man, all right. There ain't no human alive can help you get mixed up and confused more than Abner. Hey, Grannies, Abner, you've got to cut out running this advice bureau. You ain't hit a lick of work around here since you taken up Beatrice Fairfaxen. Besides, who are you to go around giving advice? What do you know about trouble?
Well, I'm married, ain't I?
I don't see what you're doing this for, no way. You ain't making a cent of money out of it.
Well, I ain't interested in money. I just get so much enjoyment out of my work.
Enjoyment?
Yeah. Palm, you just ought to hear the things that people tell me.
Why, you little gossip, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Oh, what I could tell you about some of the folks around this town.
Well, I don't want to hear none of it. I'm above that. There ain't no one thing lower than a person that listens to gossip. What are some of them?
Well, I can't tell you none. Sir, wait a minute. I see one of my clientele's coming up out there. Old Doc Peabody's got to get to work.
Old Doc Peabody? When did that start?
Can't mind out. Be quiet, Mom.
Good morning, old Doc Peabody.
Good morning, number 74WK59.
74. Abner, this is Ben Withers.
Mom, please. We never use no names in this business. Come along, 74W.
That's all right. How's everything with you, love?
Oh, terrible.
Fine.
Now, sit right there, 74.
Thank you.
Now then, 74, just pour out your little heart. Tell me all the spicy herb. Tell me everything.
What's this girl's name?
What girl?
This girl you mentioned in connection with marriage.
Well, I don't know who she is.
Well, there you are. You don't even know her name. You should at least get acquainted with her first, Abner.
Well, Ben,
maybe you'll find out she's not the right girl for you after all.
But, Ben,
And then, too, you've been reasonably happy with Elizabeth, haven't you?
Well, yeah, sure I have.
And you've got to think of your daughter, Pearl, too. You don't want her to become a homeless little waif, do you?
No, I sure don't. Bless her heart. Bless her little heart.
All right, then. Go home. Think this over. I'm sure you'll change your mind.
Well, thanks, Ben. Thank you. You just ain't got no idea how much you've helped me. Wait a minute. What am I doing out here? I'm the advisor.
Thornton, before you tell me about any program ideas, let me remind you that Colossal Broadcasting Company puts on only first-class entertainment.
But, Mr. Fliegerly, this old Doc Peabody is a natural.
Yeah.
He's sort of a backwoods philosopher, a rural Sullivan. Why, people come to him from miles around for advice. He might be a sensation on the radio.
Well, I hate to spend any more for talent the way prices are going now. I just bought young Dr. Malone for $7 million, and look what happened. Now he's so rich, he's given up his practice.
Yes, I know.
Then I bought Smiling Ed McCollum for $9 million. And he's been laughing so hard ever since he can't sing.
I know, Mr. Fliegerly, but...
Then I paid $11 million for John's other wife. Now his first wife is suing us for alimony.
But, Mr. Fliegerly, I'm sure if you played your cards right, you could get this old Doc Peabody for nothing.
Well, why didn't you say so? I'll put a call through to him right away.
Hello, jot him down, store and advice bureau. Old Doc Peabody doing the talking.
Hello, I'm calling from New York.
Hey, Lum, some fellas call me clean from New York.
Oh, sure, sure. Mr. Dewey, no doubt.
Hello.
Tell him it's too late for advice now.
Hello?
Hello? I'm president of the Colossal Broadcasting Company.
Well, sir, my advice to you is don't worry about it. Just recollect, every silver lining has a black cloud around it.
But, doctor, I don't want advice. I want to put you on the radio.
Huh?
We'll run some lines out to Pine Ridge and broadcast your advice bureau. We'll put you on a coast-to-coast hookup over a long string of stations.
Dog is long. They're going to string me up on a long hook.
I knew it'd happen sooner or later. hash up your bragging. Granny's, ever since you got that long-distance call from that broadcasting outfit, you've been strutting around like a he-turkey in a barnyard. All puffed out and gobbling a lot of stuff that don't make no sense.
Now, looky here, Lawmeters. I guess a man with my national standing as a radio talker's got a right.
National standing? Radio talker? I bet you don't even know a microphone from a micro. Oh, hello, Mr. Niles. It's a relief to see you.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Niles. And how's everything with our good friend from Frigidaire?
Why, fine, fine. Say, what's all this about a microphone? You know, I've always been interested in radio.
Oh, Abner here thinks he's a Gabriel Thomas or a Lowell Heater or something.
Well, just give me a little practice, that's all. Just a little practice.
See, I read a book about radio announcing once. Maybe I can give you some pointers. Hmm. Here, I'll use this broom for a microphone. Now, the first thing you have to do is to get your listeners' attention. Tell them something exciting or important, like, only the Frigidaire automatic washer gives you live water action.
But, Mr. Niles, I'm going to be telling people how to handle their problems.
Handling problems? There's no problem to handling clothes.
And I'm going to tell them how to have happier homes.
Any home is happier with a Frigidaire automatic washer.
And I'll advise folks how to keep out of hot water.
A very good point. With a Frigidaire automatic washer, your hands need never be in water. There now, Mr. Peabody, does that give you some idea of radio technique?
Yeah, well, I reckon so. It sure does. Only one thing that bothers me now, Mr. Niles.
What's that?
Well, when I get so I can give spiels like that on this Frigidaire show, what are you going to do for a job?
Granny's been, I just don't know what to do with Abner. Ever since them New York fellers come out here to put him on the radio, he's the importance, he can't hardly stand himself. And neither can I.
Why?
And what's worse, neither can his woman, Elizabeth. He's been so busy telling everybody else how to get along with their wife, he don't even know his own wife has flown the coop.
By stars, has Mrs. Peabody left him?
Oh, yeah. She separated him. Her and little Pearl packed up and hopped the milk truck to Hatfield.
Hatfield, nice place.
I just feel so sorrowful for poor Elizabeth, I don't know what to do.
Maybe she'll run into Lyle Greenall over there.
Who's he?
Yes. Lyle Greenall moved from Mount Ida to Hatfield in 1932. He got caught in the westbound Labor Day traffic that year and wasn't able to execute a left turn till he got to Hatfield.
Well, Ben...
I've never been there myself.
Ben, how can you be talking about Lyle Greenall when poor Elizabeth's a tore up? I just wish you could hear the letter she wrote me from Hatfield.
Oh, from Hatfield? Did she mention Lyle Greenall?
Ben, she don't even know Lyle Greenall.
Oh, he's easy to recognize. He has a nice mustache. But she dyed gray.
Dyed gray? What color was it before?
Black. He didn't think the black went well with his hair.
What color was his hair?
Red. What else did she say about Lyle?
She never said nothing about it. She told how Abner had been treating her something awful since he got to be such a big shot. Oh, she rips him up one side and down the other.
Why?
I'm a good mind to show Abner this letter from his wife. Maybe it'll open the little varmint's eyes, bring him to his senses.
Well, now's a good time to do it. Here comes old Doc Peabody right now.
Yeah, just look at that smirk on his face. Ain't that disgusting?
How? Now, brown cow. How now, brown cow.
What in the world?
How
you...
now, bow round. Wait a minute.
What are you doing, Abner?
If he weren't so backwoods, you'd know I'm practicing my electrocution. Yeah. This radio fella from New York listened to me talk, and he thinks before I go on the air, I need to be electrocuted.
Well, I can understand just how he feels, but ain't he a little drastical?
How now, Brian? How now?
Listen, brown cow, here's a letter. Here's a letter I think you ought to read.
Please, not now. I'm a busy man. How now?
Abner, cut that out. This letter is...
I refer to my clientele by case numbers only. Read it to me on my broadcast tonight, and I'll be more than happy to answer it.
You mean you want me to read this letter over the radio where everybody can hear it?
Why, sure.
You're sure now?
I'm positive.
All right, Doctor, you asked for it, and I grant you that's just exactly what you're going to get.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight we bring you a special broadcast direct from Pine Ridge, Arkansas, featuring old Doc Peabody, the bucolic counselor of the hills, to whom hundreds are turning for his homespun philosophy and sage guidance. And here he is, old Doc Peabody. And here he is, old Doc Peabody. Doc, we're on the air. Say something.
How now?
Doctor, I believe you have a young man here tonight who's seeking your guidance.
There he is? Oh, you mean Cedric. Yeah, sure, get up here, Cedric.
Yes, Mom, I'm coming.
Careful them microphone wires.
What wires?
Just stand up here, Cedric. That's it. All right, Cedric. Tell me all about yourself, Cedric, my boy.
Well, my name is Cedric.
No names, please.
Oh, excuse me. I live in Pine Ridge.
No localities, please.
No beans.
No vegetables, please.
Can I sit down now?
No, not yet. Now then, you poor, suffering critter. Tell me what your problem is.
Well, I ain't got no problem.
Oh, you're bound to have, sad and unhappy as you are. What caused it, your girl?
I don't think so.
Has she spoke to you since you seen her last?
Come to think of it, she ain't.
Ain't even telephoned you?
No, Mom.
Oh, that is terrible.
It might be because I ain't got no phone.
That is hardly an excuse. How did the fight start?
Well, we were... That's funny. I don't recollect.
My goodness, she hit him so hard he's got the magnesia.
Mom?
Oh, you poor, deserted, sick, suffering orphan.
Well, I ain't an orphan. I got a mama and a papa.
That's the worst kind. Look at this boy, ladies and gentlemen. Lost his girl. Got no telephone. Mama and papa's both orphans. His health is shot. Got the magnesia.
Oh, I'm a mess.
You sure are.
What am I going to do, Mr. Abbey? What am I going to do?
Yeah, I don't know, Cedric. Just try to work it out for yourself the best way you can. That's my advice to you.
Thank you, Mr. Abbey.
Now, watch out for them wires, sir. And to each life, a little rain must fall. Next case.
Doctor, I believe you have a few letters to answer. Is that not correct?
Why, yes, I believe that is not correct, yes. mail boy, would you read the letters to me?
I can't hardly wait.
Have you picked out the prize letter for today?
Oh, brother, have I.
We'll save that for the end.
Don't worry, Doc, it will be.
Proceed, boy.
Well, the first letter is from J.K. He writes, Dear Doc, I am in love with two women. One of them is rich and the other one is pretty. I can't stand to look at the rich one and I can't afford to marry the pretty one. What shall I do?
Law, I don't know. Next.
This is from W.Q. He writes, My happy home ain't what it used to be since my wife started getting highfalutinitis. Now she objects to cigar smoking in the house. What should I do?
Dear W.Q., tell her to smoke them outdoors. Next.
D.B. writes, Me and a young lady I'm going with have been planning to get married for the last 11 years, but every time we set a date for the wedding, something has prevented it. You think I have a chance for happiness?
Dear W.Q., yes, I think so. You've been awful lucky so far. Next.
Well, here's the prize letter for today, Doctor. It comes from E.P., and she writes, I am writing this to let you know why I have left... we're not supposed to use names, are we?
No names, please.
Yeah, he just got so big-headed over this new job of his, I couldn't stand him. Acted like I wasn't good enough for him no more.
Why, that ungrate?
Just had no time for me or his own little daughter.
Oh, that wretch.
He got to staying out till all hours. One night he never come home till 8:30.
Why, that... That night owl, that snake in the weeds.
For 40 years, I washed his clothes, cooked his meals, cut his hair, half-soled his shoes, ironed his breeches, planted his crops, drove his mules, cleaned his plow. But now that he's got a little success, the little worm's forgot all that.
Don't, I've heard enough. I can answer that right now. Dear E.P., if I was you, I'd take that underhanded, no-count critter you're married to, pick up the heaviest thing you can find, and whop some sense into that numbskull of his.
Is that your advice, Dr. Peabody?
You're dead blame right, that's my advice.
Good, and you'll be happy to know, Doctor, that E.P. stands for Elizabeth Peabody, your wife.
Huh?
All right, Elizabeth, you hear the doctor's advice. Go to it.
Elder Peabody!
Hey, now, Elizabeth, now stay away. Keep back now. I just let go of me. Elizabeth, put me down. Now, honey, Mom, help me. Help. Oh, oh, oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to circumstances over which the doctor ain't got no control, this is the last in a new series of broadcasts featuring that homespun philosopher who has just been spun home.
Lum and Abner will be back in just a moment, but first, here is an important question. Would you like to have more room to keep perishable foods, even though your kitchen is already overcrowded? Then see the new Frigidaire refrigerators.
I'll get it, Abner. Hello. What? No, I'm sorry. Abner ain't in the advising business no more. I know you need advice bad, but he can't help you. Goodbye.
Who was that?
Dr. Gallup.
Lum and Abner on Tuned to Yesterday from November 14th, 1948 on CBS. It's an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now time for Blondie. From the famous comic strip, we'll also hear another famous comedian as special guest, Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks. This is a famous broadcast from the series heard on October 8th, 1944 on CBS.
Don't touch that dial, because there's nothing else on. You might just as well listen to Blondie. Rebroadcast for the servicemen and women of the United Nations with Penny Singleton and Arthur Lake as Blondie and Dagwood Bumpstead, respectively. Before we join the Bumpsteads of Shady Lane Avenue, let's gather around the bandstand for a curtain raiser from Lenny Kahn and his orchestra. Raise that curtain, Len.
Weekly visit with our neighbors, the Bumpsteads of Shady Lane Avenue, who have as their guest tonight Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks. Snooks is going to visit the Bumpsteads. But first, let's look in at 127 Shady Lane Avenue and see what's going on. Something seems to be wrong with Alexander, the pride and joy of the Bumpstead family. It seems he isn't enjoying school this year as much as he did before. Blondie and Dagwood are talking to Alexander, who's just arrived home after a hard day with his teacher.
Well, Alexander, how did school go today?
Huh?
I said, how did school go today?
I didn't notice.
Hey, what's the matter with you? What happened today?
I don't know. I haven't seen the evening paper yet.
We
mean what happened at school.
Oh, at school.
Yeah.
Oh, Alexander, please pay attention and focus your eyes.
Excuse me, Mom.
Seem like you're only half here.
It's even less than that.
Look, Alexander, we'd like to know what happened at school. We're your parents, and we hope we're not asking too much. But we would like to know what happened at school, if anything.
Oh, it was the same old stuff.
Go ahead. What?
Well, the teacher asked me some questions, and I answered the questions.
You answered them all? That's my son.
I answered them all wrong.
That's your son.
Alexander, just what seems to be wrong with school this year, huh?
Nothing. There just doesn't seem to be anything right about it.
And that's a hard situation to correct.
Well, I'm going upstairs and mope around. Call me when dinner's ready.
How do you like that?
I don't. I can't understand what's wrong with him.
Well, Blondie, maybe it's one of those things. You know, Blondie, ever so often he decides on his life's work. And he's going to be an actor, a chemist, or a steeplejack, and we have trouble with him until he forgets it.
What do you think he's decided to be this time?
A loafer.
Well, he can't get away with that in this family, even if he did get the idea from you.
Yeah, even if he did get it, Blondie.
Well, Alexander usually sees you lying on that couch.
Yeah?
He hardly knows what you look like standing up.
Oh, Blondie.
He's beginning to think his father is something horizontal that snores.
Now, Blondie, that's not fair. You can't blame me for the way Alexander's been acting.
Well, what do you think is wrong, then? He certainly lost interest in things.
Yeah, he seems to have lost interest in everything. Yeah, well, wait a minute. I'll test him out. Alexander!
Yeah, Pop?
Do you want a quarter? I said, do you want a quarter?
I heard you the first time, Pop. I'm just thinking it over.
He's lost interest, all right. Well, do you want it?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Oh, thank you too much. Maybe he'd like me to spend it for him, too.
Dagwood, you know, I've been thinking.
Yeah?
Maybe we're not taking enough interest in his mental development.
Well, I have. I've always been interested in training his mind the same way mine was trained, but you always chase me away from him.
Well, dear, one Dagwood Bumstead is enough.
Yeah.
You know, Dagwood, I think I'd better have a little talk with him and see if I can't get him interested in something.
Oh, that's swell. Yeah, but what are you going to get him interested in?
I know. Mm. I know exactly what I'll talk to him about. I'll explain to him what's going on in the world. You know, Alexander doesn't realize that history is being made all around him. Now, Alexander, I want to have a little chat with you.
Okay, Mom. What about?
Well, you seem to have lost interest in things. I don't believe you know what a very important period the world is going through right now.
Well, yes, but of course I didn't attend the big powwow at Dumbarton Oaks.
Where? Oh, yes. Now, son, you just ask any questions at all, and I'll answer them for you.
What are your opinions on post-war planning and the peace?
Post-war planning and the peace?
Yeah, that's right. Post-war planning and the peace.
Oh. Let's see.
Yes?
Oh, of course, that question isn't very specific, Alexander. Ask me something that isn't so general.
Well, what do you think of Lord Vansittart's proposals?
Who?
Lord Vansittart.
Oh. Oh, yes, of course.
Well, I guess that's that.
Alexander, where did you hear about this Lord Whatchamadoodle?
Oh, I listen to the radio and read the newspapers. You see, Mom, Lord Vansittart is a believer in a hard-boiled peace. He thinks Germany should be occupied for maybe as long as 50 years.
Is that right?
Of course, you know about the Wells plan, don't you?
Well,
Why, Mom.
Now, don't cluck your tongue at me.
At least I know the plan was recently worked out by Orson Welles.
No, Mom. It was worked out by Sumner Welles.
Oh, dear. Well, I don't care. You never can tell what Orson Welles is up to either.
You see, Mom, Sumner Welles thinks we ought to divide Germany up into three separate nations, set up a world council, and put dependent areas under the protection of an international trusteeship.
Well, that's simply amazing. Do you know about the Polish problem, too?
Well, I can tell you what the problem is, but I don't know how they're going to unravel it.
Well, now, maybe between the two of us, we can fix that up, too. I'd like to hear, Alexander.
Just make yourself comfortable. Well, it sort of started with the first partition of Poland in 1712.
Imagine that. Well, I didn't know they had partitions in those days. I thought everybody lived in tents. Hello, Dagwood.
Oh, my gosh, Blondie, you certainly were in Alexander's room long enough. Look, did you get him interested in something? Did you explain to him what was going on in the world?
Dagwood, you just wouldn't believe what's happening in the world.
Yeah. Well, what's happening, huh?
Well, I've just had a long lecture on international affairs. Mm. You know, our son listens like mad to the radio commentators. In fact, he could be one himself. Sort of a Raymond Graham Swinglet.
Well, didn't you teach him anything?
No, but I learned a lot myself.
Well, did you snap him out of it, huh?
No, dear. There's something else wrong with him, Dagwood, and I don't know what it is. Alexander seems to be bored with life.
He does? Isn't he a little young for that? I thought they didn't get bored with life until they were 16.
They don't. So I guess he isn't bored with life. Must be something else.
Yeah, well, I know what I'm going to do, Blondie. I'll get him interested in sports. Tomorrow morning, before I leave for the office, I'll take Alexander outside and run him through a little football practice. Yeah, maybe that'll break this up.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But maybe it'll break you up, too. Well, I guess their little football game has gone all right so far this morning. Uh-oh. I spoke too soon. Well, now, let's see. I guess there are plenty of ice cubes for his head, if it is his head, and plenty of cushions if it isn't.
Oh, Mom!
What happened, Alexander?
Pop tried to go through my side of the line, and I glommed him.
Oh, Alexander.
Well, he needled me into it. I usually pretend I can't hold on to him, but he insisted on my giving him the full treatment.
And you did.
And how? Gee, I'm not in the mood for all this excitement. Well, I've got to be on my way to school, I suppose. So long, Mom.
Oh, wait a minute. Where's your father now?
Ken Niles is bringing him right in.
Now, just take it easy there, Dagwood. Yes, you just lean on me.
Yeah. I'll call the army camp up. I'll have that man court-martialed. They can't do that to Dagwood Bumstead.
Who can't do what?
I've just been sideswiped by a tank destroyer.
Now, Dagwood.
Do I look like a tank?
Well, I wouldn't have married you if you were.
Yeah, well, I can't understand how it happened. I was whizzing past Alexander with the ball when this tank destroyer butted in.
Now, you didn't actually see it, did you, Dagwood?
No, but you saw where it plowed that furrow in the ground, didn't you?
Your nose did that.
Oh, dear, just look at the mud on your shirt. I'll get you a clean one, dear.
Yeah, I suppose so, but I still haven't found out what's eating Alexander.
Oh, Dagwood, look at the time. You're going to be late for the office.
Huh? Oh, I... Oh, holy smoke! Get the door open for me.
It already is open, Dagwood.
It is? Well, then close it and open it again. Do you want to ruin my timing?
All right, Dagwood. The door's open now, Dagwood.
Okay, honey.
Get out of the way, Mr. Niles. Yeah. He sails out the door like a buzz bomb.
Okay.
Come on, Dagwood. You'll be late to the office. Hurry.
Okay. Where's my hat?
Right there on the hat rack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Here it is.
Oh, that's not the hat rack. That's Ken Niles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Goodbye, dear.
Yeah. Goodbye.
as soon as you're through. Bumstead!
I was just making up little jokes, Mr. Ditters.
What's the matter with you? What were you doing?
Well, I was thinking.
On company time, huh? I'll bet it hurt, too.
Mr. Ditters, I've got something on my mind.
I know. It's all over your shoulders, too. However, what is it?
It's about Alexander. Oh. Ever since school started, he's been moping around and paying very little attention to practically nothing most of the time, usually.
You ought to be hit over the head with that sentence. What's wrong with him?
That's just it, Mr. Ditters. We don't know.
Well, didn't you ever feel like that when you were Alexander's age?
Yeah, I did once. Gosh, I felt terrible. It was like the end of the world.
What happened?
The price of lollipops went up.
How typical.
Yeah.
I don't suppose you know whether the price of lollipops has gone up or down lately.
Oh, the price has stayed the same, but I find they don't last as long.
Oh, I don't know. Anyhow, Alexander's a little more mature than you were at his age.
Huh?
Than you are now, for that matter.
Yeah. J.C., how about it when you went to school? Did anything ever make you feel awful, huh?
Oh, yes, of course.
Oh, it did? Hey, maybe that'll be a clue. What was it?
Well, there was a cute little brunette in school.
Yeah, I should have known. I'll bet you were a regular wolf, junior grade. Hey, go on. What about the little brunette, huh?
Oh, she was 8 and I was 9.
Ah,
what a delicious dish of dimpled divinity.
Oh, now, you couldn't have been that cute, Mr. Diddy.
I met the girl.
Yeah.
Her name was Gwendolyn O'Toole. She couldn't play jacks or Pachisi, but boy, how she could play post office.
Nothing but special delivery airmail letters, huh?
Registered, too.
Yeah, but of course, when you went to school, Mr. Ditters, it was just the Pony Express. Well, go on.
Well, Gwendolyn and I were finally separated. Oh, brother, it was a sad day.
Did her family move out of town?
Oh, no. She went on to 5B and I went back to the fourth grade. I had to sweat out an old geography rap.
Yeah.
I certainly lost interest in life.
Hey, wait a minute. I'll bet that's it. There's a woman behind this, Mr. Ditters. And as the French say, Schutze la Femme.
Yeah, chase the dame.
Maybe you've got something there.
Well, come on. I tell you what we'll do. We'll sort of quiz him and find out. Because if it's a girl that's bothering him, we could... What's the matter? Oh, yeah. Hello, Alexander.
Hello, parents. How's everything at school, Alexander?
Oh, come see, come saw. Just so-so.
Alexander, are there any specially nice girls this year?
Gosh, no. School has been awful since Toots Murphy left. Gosh, what a woman. She certainly could play third base.
What's wrong with the little Rogers girl?
Oh, she always gets weak from undernourishment right in front of the sweet shop. She gets treated so much, we call her the girl with the golden stomach.
What did this Toots Murphy do?
He used the matches to see who paid. Gosh, I certainly miss that gal. Well, that's life. Well, I guess I'll go out and back and burn some leaves.
Thank you, Alexander.
Yeah, I guess that's it, all right.
Oh, Dagwood, I know just the thing to cure him.
Well, what is it?
Well, a very sweet little girl moved into our neighborhood a few weeks ago. I think I'll invite her over to meet Alexander.
A sweet little girl?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who is it?
I think her family name is Higgins, but everyone calls her Snooks.
You mean baby Snooks on the radio?
Yes, dears.
Oh, boy, Blondie, anything can happen now.
Probably baby Snooks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I see her at the door. She certainly is a sweet-looking little girl, isn't she?
Dagwood, you let her in. Oh, dear, I hope she gets along with Alexander. How?
Do the Bumsteads live here?
Yeah, oh, yes. Sure. Here, won't you come right in, Snooks?
Are you Mrs. Bumstead?
Me? Hey, Blondie, did you hear that?
What does she mean?
What do you mean, Snooks?
My daddy says that Mrs. Bumstead wears a pants in this family.
Oh, he must have seen me wearing slacks.
Yeah, that must be it. Well, come inside, Snooks.
Why?
Because there's a very nice little boy we want you to meet.
I don't like nice little boys.
Well, what do you like?
I like to throw eggs in electric fans.
Well, Snooks, we have electric fans somewhere. I was only trying to be helpful.
Well, if you want to be helpful, stay here and entertain Snooks. Yeah. I'll be back as soon as I can find Alexander.
Yeah, okay. Well, Snooks, won't you come inside and close the door?
Why?
Because it's cold outside.
If I close the door, will it make it any warmer outside?
Well, I don't know. I never thought of that. There. Here we are. Now, is there anything you want?
Yeah.
What?
I want to go home.
But you just got here. Would you like a nice piece of cake?
Chocolate layer cake?
Yes.
A chocolate filling?
Yes.
And chocolate all over the top?
Yes.
I don't like chocolate.
Maybe you'd like to play a game, huh?
No.
Will you play a game with me if I give you a penny?
Uh-huh.
Oh, all right. Here's a penny.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, that's nice. I like to hear little girls say thank you.
Give me another penny and you'll hear it again.
Let's start the game. Now we'll start the game. You go first.
All right. Adam and Eve and Pinch Me were on a raft. Adam and Eve fell off. Who was left?
Pinch Me.
Okay.
Hey, that hurt. Yeah, what kind of a game is that, huh? A game is something you're supposed to enjoy.
Well, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, it's my turn now, Snooks. Adam and Eve and Pinch Me were on a raft.
Adam and Eve and who?
Pinch Me.
Okay.
He did it again.
You want to play another game?
Yeah, well, sure, if it's different. What's this one called, huh?
Adam and Eve and Sock Me were on a raft.
Oh, no, you don't. Get away from me.
Sir?
I never touched her.
Snooks, may I present my son, Alexander Bumstead?
He's funny looking.
Oh, brother.
Now, I want you two children to like each other.
Well, I like her.
Well, what do you say, Snooks?
Do you want to fight?
Now, Snooks, don't you know that little girls shouldn't fight?
Uh-huh.
And aren't you ashamed of yourself?
Uh-huh.
Then what do you say to Alexander?
Want to wrestle?
Oh, Snooks, I'm so disappointed. I thought you...
Oh, leave her alone, Mom. I like a girl with spunk. Now, come on, Snooks. Let's go out and play.
All right, funny face.
I love that girl.
Don't you think Snooks is wonderful, Mom?
I certainly do, Alexander.
What do you think, Pop?
I check.
Well, so long, folks. Snooks and I are going out. What would you like to play, Snooks?
I got a swell new game.
What's it called?
Adam and Eve and Pinch Me Wanna Rest.
I don't think Alexander's going to be bored with life anymore.
No, I'll say not, Blondie. You sure cured him, all right.
Yeah!
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Blondie, on Tuned to Yesterday from October 8th, 1944 on CBS. And that brings to a close this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for tuning in.